Well, thank you very much for the Reverend Galanders for his invitation to come. And I've received a very warm welcome from Billy and the rest of the folk here. When you come from the country into the city, you're not really sure what to expect. But I really do appreciate the very kind words of welcome that I have received in Abbots Cross Congregational Church. I've always heard of Abbots Cross Congregational Church, but I've never been here. So this is my first time, and thank you very much indeed. If you've got your Bibles with you tonight, please, we're turning to the prophecy of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 55, please. Isaiah chapter 55, and we'll commence to read at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And amen. We know that God will bless the public reading of his word. Just a wee prayer together, please, before we turn to God's word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for these great hymns that we've been singing together, and a sense of the Lord's presence. And Father, we praise your name for all that you mean to us. Father, we praise your name that you ever sent your only Son to the cross of Calvary to bear our shame on the cross. And oh God, we pray tonight as we preach and make known the mysteries of the gospel that you would indeed enlighten some poor soul that hasn't sought you and found you as yet. Lord, that this will be a night of blessing, that we would feel the very presence of God, that each of us would listen and be attentive to your word. And, oh God, we just pray for our nation and our province even tonight, where the gospel is being faithfully preached in places. Lord, that this will be a night when many will be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Isaiah's prophecy. There is much to say of Christ in the book of Isaiah. We read much of Christ in chapters 52, chapters 53 and 54 and so on. Very familiar passages in the book of Isaiah. But this chapter deals with the covenant of grace. This is what is the main thrust of Isaiah's message. It has been the message from the lips of early apostles. It has been the message of the lips of many evangelists. And I dare say, and I know, many even on this very platform. It has been the message burning within the preacher's heart. The message that I want to leave with you tonight. It's the warning Isaiah gives in this chapter. It's the warning that he gives. And the text that I want to bear particular attention to tonight is a familiar one. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. As I've said, this prophecy of Isaiah is a truly wonderful book. A wonderful book. There are 66 books in all in this prophecy, as there is in the Bible, as you'll know. Like the Bible is split into two distinctive sections. The first 39 books of the Bible deals with the judgments and the character of God. And the last 27 deals with the mercy and the redemption plan of God. As is the same with the prophecy of Isaiah, exactly as we know with concerning the scripture. But many have named this particular chapter of Isaiah the gospel according to Isaiah, this particular chapter. Look how the 55th chapter of Isaiah begins. And this is the context of this chapter. It's a gospel message that Isaiah is portraying here. A prophecy. A prophecy. Look how it begins. Ho. That's how this chapter begins. Ho means calling attention. That's what it means. It means to stop what you're doing and to take notice immediately. This is the thrust that Isaiah had here. And indeed is the thrust of Scripture. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is what the thrust is. This has always been and always will be the urgent message to the unsaved. My dear people, tonight, this is an urgent message. The message of salvation. It was urgent in the days of Isaiah, and it's even more urgent in these days. He begins with hope. And that's what I want to say to you tonight, is to listen. Not listen to me, God forbid. But to listen for the message that I have for you tonight. Ho. He went on to say, everyone, in verse 1. He says, ho, everyone. This is a universal call that Isaiah is making here. Quite unique. Isaiah would have been speaking mainly to the Jew. But he's making a universal call. And isn't that the gospel? We're not preaching the gospel to the Jew or to the Greek. We're preaching this gospel to the whosoever. This is a universal call. To the poor. To the named of this world. Whoever can be picked from out of the hedges and the byways. That's who this message is for. This message of redeeming grace. Verse 1 continues to say, everyone that thirsteth. The problem today, and you don't need me to remind you, the problem that we have, largely speaking, is that many are not thirsty. Many unsaved are not thirsting after righteousness. That's the epidemic in this Western world with the ungodly. Live as you like, do what you like, and no accountability toward God. Is that not the way it is? Everyone that thirsteth, no thirsting after righteousness. Years ago, and when we read of many moves of God, there seemed to be more of a hunger, of a thirst after righteousness and after God. I can well remember even my grandfather, who wasn't saved when I was younger, and I thank God that he did get saved. But I even remember as a young boy knowing that he wasn't saved. But yet he had a sense of reverence and accountability towards God. And what we're breeding in this Western civilization, this modern age, is that there's no thirsting now after God. Because all of this ethos of evolution, of there probably is no God, this kind of attitude. Do what you like. There's probably no God anyway. No, it seems to be that there's not much thirsting. thirsting after God. The qualification required, according to Isaiah here, to get this message of redeeming grace is that they must thirst. My dear people, tonight, if you're not willing to admit that you are a sinner before a holy God, you may never be saved. You must be willing to admit that you're a sinner. You must be thirsty that one day, and you will, stand before the very God of heaven. Each of us will stand before him. And if you meet him unprepared, you'll be lost. You'll be lost. Have you any sense of need for your soul's salvation? Have you any sense of need that my soul will live forever? And it will. It will. Revelation chapter 22 and 17 tells us, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life." Really. That's the message. I don't have a new message tonight. I have the message that has been streamed, that has been proclaimed from the beginning of time. The message that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Are you fed up with what life has to offer? Look at verse 2. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat, yea, that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness." What does the world tell us? What is the folly of the world? They spend their money and their labor for uncertain, unsatisfying things. Rich people live by their money. Poor people by their labor. Matthew Henry said this, "While the rich is trading, the poor is toiling, both promising themselves satisfaction, but both miserably disappointed." We see, we're living in an age of celebritism, if there's such a word. And you see the glossy magazines of celebrities, and everything seems so grand. But when you delve in behind the surfaces, when the makeup comes off, I can tell you there's not much happiness. There's not much happiness. There's a man up round our way, as we talk about, and he's a big landowner. And he's worked his whole life for hundreds of acres of land. And some would say that he's the most unhappiest man in the district. Why? What is his problem? He's afraid of losing it. Worked all his life to get it. Many a time he would have sat and thought to himself, "If I just get it, I'll be happy." Now, once he has it, his head's tormented in case he loses it. No, there's no happiness to be found. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in his fatness." This is the message that we have. Let your soul delight in its fatness. There's nutrition, there's substance in the gospel. My dear people, tonight, it's the only message, is this message of the gospel. And if you're unsaved, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior, can I tell you, you only think that you're happy. There's pleasure in sin, but only for a season. Let your soul delight in his fatness. As I've said, the verse that I want to bear particular attention to tonight is a very familiar one, as I've said. Here is a gracious offer made of pardon, peace and happiness to poor sinners. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Verse 6. I had a great uncle. And I remember it's just about a year ago. And he was dying. Worked his whole life. And when he was dying on his bed, and it's a very chilling thing to see a man or a woman on their deathbed. And as I watched that frail man lie on his deathbed, toiled his whole life, my eyes were drawn to a picture that was on his bed, on the bedroom wall. And it was this text: seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. That man was saved. Yes, he did have a deathbed. But many will not have a deathbed. That's why there's an urgency in this message. Is to seek the Lord while he may be found. First of all, what the text is telling us. Isaiah here is giving a command. He is portraying a sense of urgent action. Seek. The definition for seek is to go in search of, to look for, make a search, try to obtain or bring about, try to do, ask for, request. That's what it means to seek. Call. The definition for call is cry, shout, speak loudly, summon, order to take place, invite. It's the simplest thing to do, is to call. A child can call. The word in the original is cry. Romans 10:13 tells us that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a simple message that we have tonight. Dare anyone stand and preach the gospel and not make it simple that a child can understand it? This is a simple message. All you have to do is cry on the Lord and he'll save you. But there's an urgency. That's what the text is telling us, simply. Very importantly, not only is it clear what the text is telling us what to do, the text also very importantly proposes the Lord may not always be there to be found. That's what this text is proposing. He may not always be near to call upon. That's why it's urgent. That's why it's so urgent that you're saved, that you're born again. Therein lies the urgency of the message. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And that's the message. Noah built the ark. He spent 120 years building the ark. Peter reminds us that he was a preacher of righteousness. 120 years God gave a time of mercy. 120 years of preaching, telling the people to come, telling the people to get into the ark, for there was judgment coming. God gave the time, and what happened? God shut the door. God shut the door. Mercy had ended.
When the door shut and the waters began to rise, there is no doubt that there were many banging on the side of the ark for Noah to let them in. But their cry was too late. God then could not be found. God was not there no longer to call upon. And they perished. Get the picture. The five foolish virgins in Matthew 25, who had ample opportunity to buy oil and to trim their lamps. Ample opportunity. The bridegroom came. The door was shut. Lord, Lord, open unto us. That's what they cried. They lay sleeping when they should have been trimming their lamps. They lay sleeping. And they banged on the door. Now get the picture tonight. They banged on the door and said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But look at the reply from Christ himself. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. I know you not. The rich man in Luke 16. Many of you will be so familiar with that. The rich man had ample opportunity to call on the Lord while he is near, to seek him while he was to be found. But perhaps one of the most chilling chapters in all of Scripture. If you're looking a glimpse beyond the grave, read Luke 16. Many are intrigued of what lies beyond the grave. Well, you'll find it in Luke 16. That rich man had ample opportunity. This is also came from the words of Christ himself. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And what was the reply? Remember, in thy lifetime that thou had those great things. In your lifetime. And that rich man, as he looked, lifted up his eyes, being in torments, he cried unto Father Abraham to send a drip of water that he might cool his tongue. Was his request granted? No. He sought the Lord when he was not there to be found. He called on him when he wasn't there. You must be, and I implore you tonight, you must be like blind Bartimaeus, who seized his opportunity. Even when the crowd tried to hush him. Even when the crowd tried to drown him out and say, keep it down, Bartimaeus. He made a beeline and he got to Christ. Have mercy on me. That's the way you need to be tonight. You know, I can't create an anxious thought. None of us can. But it's my duty to tell you tonight that if you miss God's salvation, still when you're in the day of grace and in the day of opportunity, when you can seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near, if you don't heed to that and go on your rampage on your own way, you'll be lost. And you'll be lost in hell. It's a chilling thought. You know, there seems to be also in particularly in the West, a kind of watering down of the gospel. A kind of a watering down of the realities. But I'm one who likes reality. It's just the way that I work in my own mind. I like to see what is reality and what isn't. And dear people, tonight, this is reality. That your soul will live forever in either heaven or hell. That's the reality of the message. Can I dilute that in any way? No. That's why there's an urgency. It's a chilling thought that you could be lost tonight. Lost. The Philippian jailer shouted in Acts 16, "What must I do to be saved?" He embraced his opportunity. Blind Bartimaeus, the Philippian jailer, sought the Lord while he was there to be found. And they called on him when he was near. And he's near tonight. He's here. The God of heaven is here. And you can call on him and get salvation and be saved. This gospel is for you. In verse 1 of chapter 55, look at the abundance of the message. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price." The substance in milk, the purities that there are within wine. We are not preaching a message that does not work. Those of you who are saved, of which I'm sure there are many, can testify to that. It's full of nutrition. It's full of substance. It's substantial. Is this salvation? Unsaved person tonight, his patience is waiting on you. His word is calling you. And I would urge you to capitalize on your opportunity. I can't emphasize it enough. Look at verse 3, what Isaiah was telling us. "Incline your ear and come unto me." Unsaved tonight, I'm urging you to incline your ear. To listen to what I'm saying. "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live." Don't listen to the message and you'll die. But incline your ear to this gospel message and your soul shall live. Live right to the ends of eternity. In heavenly bliss. Oh, this is real. You know, quite often, even those of us who are saved, sometimes we lose sight of the realities. But it's great to know that we're on our way to heaven and on our way to home. And while this world can get us down so often, just because we're saved doesn't mean we're not prone to problems. We are very much so. But the reality is tonight, and I'm not boasting in anything of myself, but I'm on my way to heaven. Are you? Are you on your way to heaven? Answer the question within yourself. Perhaps you don't know if you're saved or not. Perhaps you don't know whether a good life brings salvation or whatever. It's not really clear in your mind. It must be clear. It must be clear as a bell. Your soul is an eternal soul. There is a day coming when he will be afar off and he will not there be found. There's coming that day, unsaved. When the day of his patience is over and his spirit strives no longer. That's a chilling thought, isn't it? There may be a time when your heart may be, now listen to this, incurably hardened. Many have said no to the gospel for the last time and are still alive and well. Said no to the Holy Spirit. You see, unsaved person, there's too much against you. There's too much going against you if you say no to the gospel. God could speak no longer. The heart attack could come. The car accident could happen. Isaiah emphasized the urgency, and that's what I'm doing tonight. The urgency. Mercy is now offered, but then judgment without mercy will take place. That's God. He's abundant in mercy. Think of the mercy of God. Yet one day, that mercy will turn to judgment. That's the reality. One day, those nails, those hands that were nailed to the cross of Calvary, for your sin and for my sin, those arms that are outstretched full of mercy tonight will one day be the arms and the hands that will point you to everlasting torments. That's what my Bible tells me. Ye who live in known gross sin, you're to seek the Lord while he may be found. Those of you who live in a clean, upright, self-righteous life, you need to seek the Lord while he may be found. It boggles the mind why a holy, holy God can love and save a filthy sinner. Well, that's the gospel. I don't care what you've done or what depths you've went to. Those secret sins that many know nothing about. He will abundantly pardon. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's the message that I have for you tonight. That the God of all glory can take your sin and your sins, casting them into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. What a message. For he will abundantly pardon. Verse 1, without money, without price. All you have to do is to be willing that you're a sinner. Don't miss this opportunity. You know, there's nothing worse in this world than missing something. Missing a deal, perhaps. missing something that knowing that you could have had, and a week later knowing that you've missed it. But to lose your soul's salvation is quite another. There's no feeling worse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And what better time than tonight? What better time than to seek the Lord than tonight? What an opportunity that you have. There's oxygen in your lungs. You're of sound mind. Look at the day that the Lord has given unto you. What better opportunity than now? Oh, I urge you. I implore you in God's name. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Amen.